No parent wants their kids to go deep in debt, but whether it's college or trade school, education can be pricey. Learn what options are available out there and how to best save up for your kids' college expenses. Welcome to Couple Money, a podcast focused on helping spouses get on the same page, dump their debt faster, and get on the path to financial freedom together. I'm your host, Elle Martinez. This podcast is brought to you by Coastal Credit Union. Coastal's mission is to help you live a better life by offering you a better way to bank. Learn how by visiting bankbetter.org. Right now, the average price for a public four-year college is $25,290 in-state, just a smidge over $40,000 if you're out of state, while a private college hovers around $50,000 for the 2017-2018 school year. And that price is rising quickly, much faster than wages, but we'll get more to it this episode. And if your kid is looking at trade school, which of course the costs vary based on the program, you're still looking at, if they were trying to go for a registered nurse program, for example, at around $31,000. Education isn't cheap. For many students, loans are a major way they are paying for their degrees. With these loans seeming like a weight for many college grads, I think most parents are trying to find ways to ease the burden. Now, the advice typically given is to save ahead, which sounds great, but the problem is, how do you do that when you're juggling your current family expenses and you're saving up for other goals? To help me out today, we have Drew Snyder. He's the Director of Financial Planning at Coastal Wealth Management. He's also a parent of a 12-year-old daughter, so yes, he's been thinking about this as well. He's going to look at this from both sides. In this episode, we're going to get into the rising cost of college and why it's harder for kids to work through it, what options you have to save and invest, and then how you can start saving now. Let's get started. When my husband and I went to college, we received a combination of scholarships and financial aid, but they didn't cover everything. So we took on some student loan, and both my husband and I worked through college. Going to school full-time and working part-time was a bit of a challenge with time management, but it wasn't impossible, and actually looking back, we both appreciate it. It made us be more disciplined with our time and also our priorities. Now, it's almost a given that college keeps getting more expensive, but you may not be aware of how expensive it can be at some colleges.
We're hearing a lot of parents, especially I would say parents in their 40s and 50s over the past 10 years or so, who claimed that they didn't need to save for their kids' college because they paid for their own way through. And what I don't think people who have that mindset have realized is that the cost of college has gone up so much more than what a kid can earn to pay his or her way through college, that it's almost impossible to do that anymore. Just as an example, so what I did is I went ahead and looked up some information on UNC Chapel Hill, and I found that from 1986 to 2016, the cost of tuition went up 8.15%. And the minimum wage, which is what, you know, someone could expect to earn if they're a college student, only went up 2.6%.
Whoa.
So what that means is, if you were working in 1986, you could have worked 34 hours a week and paid tuition and room and board and pay for college and your food and housing. In 2016, in order to pay for tuition and your room and board, you would have to work 52 hours a week.
Okay. Working 52 hours a week isn't good for anybody, especially if you're going to be studying full-time for a trade or getting a college degree. But I do think that this brings up a good point. Do you know the cost of going to college right now with the good schools or solid schools in your area? You can run a what-if scenario. What if they don't have scholarship or financial aid money to cover the costs? How much would they have to work if they wanted to graduate debt-free or close to debt-free? If you find that the number is enormous, then there's several options that you can look at. One being maybe switching schools or directing their attention to a school that is affordable and that can help them still get whatever training or degree that they're looking for. Just being aware of the costs can have a tremendous impact. You can begin having these conversations with your kids. That way they understand what options they have ahead of them and can prepare accordingly. Remember, we want them to not only get the training that they're going to get at trade school or in college, but we also want to make them financially savvy. Speaking of finances, there's another concern that Drew has with how parents are planning to pay for college.
And then on the other side of that is a lot of parents choose to borrow money for college, or a lot of people take 401k loans or home equity loans to pay for college and not save for college. And so the other calculation I did, I wanted to find out what would it cost, your out-of-pocket cost, if you started saving for 10 years versus waiting and then just borrowing money. And the numbers that I came up with, and this is just saving for $25,000, so 1 year of college.
Mm.
If you saved $152 a month for 10 years and got a 6% rate of return, you would have $25,000 at the end of that 10-year period. You're out of pocket, what you actually invested was $18,240.
Okay.
Now let's wait and take this other couple who decides they don't want to save. They're going to go to Disney World instead. And then it's time for their child to go to college. It's $25,000. So they're going to borrow that and they're going to pay it back over 10 years and pay 6% interest. Their out-of-pocket cost is $33,360. So basically it costs someone about $15,000 more to wait and borrow to pay for it.
So you might be listening to this and thinking, okay, we need to start saving for college, but what's the best option for us? Drew says that there are three key things to consider to make sure you're getting the best option for you and your family.
When you think about where you're going to save for your kids' college, you kind of have three things in mind. One is, what are the tax issues or benefits of different accounts? The second is, who's the owner? Who's the owner of that account? Is it the child or the parent? And the third thing you want to consider is the investment choices that you're going to have within that account.
And the two popular options for parents with saving for college are 529 plans and Coverdell Education Savings Accounts.
And when you look at the 529 plan and the Coverdell Education Savings Account, they both have great tax advantages. You can invest in investments within those accounts. They grow tax deferred. And then when you take them out for college expenses, they come out tax free. So all the earnings that you've made over the years, you don't ever pay taxes on those if they're used for qualified college expenses. So there's some very nice benefits there.
Yeah.
The catch is, you know, the IRS doesn't give away things for free. So the catch is, if you don't use it for college expenses, then there is a 10% penalty on withdrawals from the account that are not used for that purpose.
And while they're both solid plans that you can use to save for your kids' college or education fund, there are some big differences you need to know about.
The truth is, most people are saving to the 529 plan these days. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason for that is there's virtually no limit on how much you can invest in there and how much you can contribute. The truth is there are some limits, and you should talk to your financial advisor about that. But they're limited by the gift tax rules, which is pretty high. So you can put a lot of money in that. The Coverdell account is capped at $2,000 per year for contributions. Okay. So that alone, I think, keeps some people from doing it. in the or using the Coverdell account. Mm-hmm. The other issue with the Coverdell account is your income has to fall within certain or under certain limits for you to be able to use that account. And that can keep people from doing it. Just for your information out there, it's for a joint couple who files jointly. There's a phase out range between $190,000 and $220,000 of income. And if you're single, it's $95,000 to $110,000 of income. Mm-hmm. So the point there is, if you're over $190,000 as a joint filer, or as a couple, then you're going to be phased out and potentially can't even contribute the $2,000 to that.
And if you decide to open and use a 529 account to save, there are some things you need to be aware of.
529 plans are established by states. Okay. Each state has their own plan, and they choose who the investment company is that's going to run the investments within their plan. So as an individual deciding which plan to use, a couple things you need to think about are, one, do you get any tax advantages from using your state's plan? Here in North Carolina, we used to have a tax advantage. We would get a tax deduction, or a credit actually, on our state taxes for contributions. That ended several years ago. So if you're a North Carolina resident, there really isn't an advantage from a tax standpoint to use the North Carolina plan. Most states allow out-of-state residents to use their plans. And so that really frees an individual up to pick which state's plan they want to work with. I think a lot of people choose based on the investment choices and who the investment manager is.
Mm-hmm.
Through Coastal, we have access to many different plans across the country. I personally use the Virginia plan that uses American Funds as the investment company.
Mm-hmm.
I like the flexibility of the investment choices. Performance has been good. Ease of service. They have a great online portal.
Mm-hmm.
To view accounts, add money to it. It's excellent. But I've also used the North Carolina plan back when we got a tax credit for our contributions. They're mostly Vanguard funds, which I think a lot of listeners will probably be familiar with, which are low cost. But I'll be honest with you, there aren't as many choices through the North Carolina plan.
Okay.
But it's up to the individual to do their research to find the plan that's right for them.
And you might feel intimidated by the numbers and think, oh my goodness, this is way too much that we have to save. But what we're trying to do is ease the burden. And so by saving now, you're going to be doing that, even if it's a smaller amount than what you planned or had hoped for.
Yeah. And I've talked to a lot of parents about this. The first thing to do is just as a couple, just to start saving $25 or $50 a month. If you start saving $25 or $50 a month when your child is born, you'll be shocked at how much money you can accumulate by the time they're 17, 18 years old.
Yeah.
In addition to doing it yourself, I've had some families do a fun idea. We're all familiar with getting a match on our retirement account at work.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to a grandparent and see if they would match your contributions. So if you put in $50, maybe they'll put in $50. Because a lot of grandparents want to help.
Mm-hmm.
But they also think, hey, I put you through college. I don't need to put my grandchild through college also. But they want to help. So if they see that the parent is saving, then a lot of grandparents will also contribute to those accounts. You can talk to the grandparents also about, instead of just getting Christmas presents or birthday presents,
mm-hmm.
Add money to a 529 plan for them.
And fintechs also getting into this. There are options that makes it easier for you to involve grandparents or friends with college savings. One company, CollegeBacker, allows you to kind of crowdsource the savings. And this can be a great option because you probably do have family and friends that want to help out and give a gift. And giving this gift of helping out with education is something that can have a huge impact. And they don't have to contribute much. It can be smaller amounts, like $20, $25, but that goes into savings. And then later on, when your kid needs it, they have that money available. So I'm going to include a link in the show notes so that you can look at this option and see if it's right for you. And if you're parents of older kids and they're more closer to the college age and you're looking for ways to save and keep expenses manageable, Drew had some extra tips. The first one he and I discussed was consider going to a community college and then transferring for the four-year route. And my husband and I did this. We went to school in Virginia, and they have a great system and program that makes the transition easy. We got our two-year degree, actually no debt for the first 2 years, got paid because of the way the financial aid worked out to attend school, and then a lot of the same professors that we attended with in community college were there at the four-year university. So check that out. See if that's a good option for you in your area, in your state, and talk it over as a family. The second tip he offered was about financial aid and how it's calculated.
What's important to know is, as I said before, is how's the money invested? Mm-hmm. What are the tax implications of those investments? And then who's the owner? Then that's going to become important when you're filing for financial aid. Mm-hmm. Because parent assets owned by parents, are more favorably looked at in the financial aid process than assets owned by a child. So if these crowdsourcing accounts title the child as the owner, then okay, it's going to have a bigger impact on financial aid. So that's what I would just encourage people to understand. Mm-hmm. And on that topic, grandparents are perfect places to invest money because they are not considered at all in the financial aid application process. If a grandparent opens up a 529 plan and names the grandchild as beneficiary, when the parent then goes to file for financial aid, that asset is not part of the application. If the parent opens the 529 plan, then it is viewed as a parent asset. And a portion of that is considered in the financial aid process.
This segment is brought to you by Coastal Credit Union. If you want to live better, you got to bank better. Find out how at bankbetter.org. Before we wrap up, I want to focus on key takeaways I got from speaking with Drew about saving up for college. The first one is start early. Yes, of course, starting early with saving up, whether it's a ESA or a 529, is a smart move. Time is a huge advantage, even if you're doing smaller contributions now. But I also say start early because you want to start thinking about what is out there and start talking to your kid now about what their interests are and what plans that they have. And this ties into the second one, which is don't go on autopilot. For some families, it's an automatic given that a four-year degree, maybe more, is the way to go. But you should really sit down and see what is the best option for your kid. It might be trade school. It might be a mix of community college, a certification. You don't know what it is until you start having the conversation and you're digging into what their career field looks like. Things are changing fast. I was reading an article about how big companies like Apple and Google, Netflix, they don't require four-year degrees. So don't treat it as a given that the four-year degree route is the way to go. There's some fantastic high-paying and rewarding careers out there that require a different route. And then finally, have your kid have skin in the game. Helping your kid to avoid or minimize debt is a fantastic goal, but also make sure that they're personally invested. Now, this could be maybe paying a portion of their college expenses, or it could be making sure that they treat scholarship hunts like a part-time job. I had done an interview with college admissions coach and scholarship strategist Pam Andrews, also known as the Scholarship Shark, and she had helped her son snag $700,000 in scholarship. Yeah. $700,000. This did not happen by accident. She and her son had a strategy that they were following through on. I'm going to include in the show notes a link to that interview because I think it's very helpful for you to start thinking about ways to include your child, of course, with the conversations about what they want to do, but also help them understand the finances behind getting whatever degree or certification that they're looking at. We want this to be a team effort, and you're also training them to be financially savvy as well. If you want to talk more about how to save for college and other education expenses, please join us on our free and private Facebook group called Thriving Families. We're a community focused on helping each other out. You can find us at couplemoney.com/FB. We hope to see you there. Special thanks to Drew for being a part of the show. If you guys want a professional to help you with saving for your kids' education, along with your other goals, and you live here in the Triangle area of North Carolina, you should check out Coastal's Wealth Management Team. As always, I'm going to have links in the show notes so you can contact and reach out to them, as well as resources we mentioned during our chat, including bonuses like our free 5 days to 5K course, so you can save more for that 529 plan and your other goals as well. Next week, we're wrapping up the season by discussing how you can dump some debt before this year is over. We have 4 months left, which gives us plenty of time to reset things if you're a bit behind on your goals. We're going to look into smart ways to dump your debt faster. So if you haven't already, make sure you're subscribed. You don't want to miss out on that episode. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, you name it. And if you want to share this episode with your friends, I would be so grateful. Let's make money a way to connect instead of being a source of stress in our marriages. Our theme song was written and performed by Gentle Regime. Additional music by Lee Rosevere. Finally, and most importantly, thank you so much for your support and for listening. I really appreciate it. If you ever have any questions, please reach out, l@couplemoney.com. I hope you have a wonderful week. Take care.